The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line, man in line today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio@manxradio.com. So what's on your mind today? Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be serious. It could be terribly frivolous. It's your chance to have your say. Trev says that, Andy, I was at the Eastern Amenity site. They're taking car registrations at the entrance. Is that right? They're taking car registrations. I asked why. I was told by a nice gentleman they were counting cars coming in during the morning. I said, surely you don't need the registration to count, just a tally. He said he's just doing as he was told. No problem with the nice gent, but it just seems a bit big brother. ANPR next, Trev, that is. Are they still taking registrations at the amenity site? What do you hear? Did you hear the Chief Minister saying there's no guarantee there'll be any support from government amid the ongoing fuel crisis? The cost of petrol, diesel and home heating oil shot up as a result of the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Mr. Cannon said government's following a number of key principles, including weekly meetings, establishing an industry monitoring body and protecting the supply to the Isle of Man, but he wouldn't commit to providing help to people struggling with the increases. Well, I've got a simple question for you. Is it the government's job to do that? I mean, this is a price rise. This has been forced on everybody. Everybody is subject to this, not just the Isle of Man. Is it the government's job to mitigate this? You got any thoughts? David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Glad to see you back.
Thank you.
Don't go on holiday. That's the main thing. Okay. 'Cause things go wrong, including the telephone system. Listen, Wilf was on yesterday about, and he just probed me to have a check this morning. So we use a tractor for Onken AFC, which uses red diesel. So I went this morning to the garage and picked the red diesel up. That's fine. And I just thought to myself, when Wilf was talking about the biodiesel, I remember it years ago, but I don't see why, and this is the question I'm asking now, and only Chris Thomas could probably tell us, is why can't we use biodiesel? There must be a glut of waste oil lying about. Farmers used to collect it for free. I remember a guy down south, I can't remember his name now, but anyway, he used to make the biodiesel.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at the Laxey filling station, which is, and I'm sure the member for Garth, Andrew Smith, is connected there too.
Yeah.
Maybe he's listening, because you've got 27 members, don't you? 24 members are listening in all the time to make sure what you're saying and the rest of us are saying, and getting ideas.
So, I mean, have you spotted biodiesel anywhere? I can't remember seeing it for ages.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it for ages. But it doesn't mean to say it doesn't exist, because you know what the government's like. As soon as somebody does something, they want a tax out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the farmer down south, because I seen the big tanks that he had. He was making them.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, he had to say to the customers and excise, it was for his own use.
Right.
And maybe got away with it. I don't know on that. But the other thing I was going to say, Andy, too, is did we hire a dredger last year, or did we buy a ship that blowed bubbles underneath the bottom of the silt?
Well, we rented a dredger last year for a fortune, and yes, I know what you're going to say. It hasn't really worked, has it?
It hasn't. And listen, it wasn't a dredger, because the definition of a dredger is to extract material, put it in the hopper, take it somewhere else, and then release it.
That's right.
And that's what we used to have a dredger
right.
for.
That's right. It just went down, kind of excited the bed, didn't it? And it will be taken out on an ebb tide.
Yeah. So technically, and all the loads of experts out there, was it really a dredger? And did we pay for a bubble making machine? That's all.
Mm.
And I wanted to know, was it value for money?
Well,
and did we get it?
Well, that's the situation with the Manxman at the moment, isn't it? We're kind of stuffed with it because of the fact that
low tide.
Yeah, because of that. Okay, all right, David. Good to hear from you.
See you, mate.
Cheers. Now, text, email, call, WhatsApp. Who's doing biodiesel? I remember, as David said, the member for Garth, Mr. Smith, who has something to do with the Laxey filling station, they used to sell it there. And I'm sure, I mean, this is going back years, 20 plus years, there was a guy who collected all the chip oil, all the oil from the chip shops. And I'm sure he boiled it up and put something in it. He used to run his car on it. Is anybody making biodiesel? And is it the answer to this? Mind you, of course, everybody's making chips with an air fryer now, so there won't be that much oil knocking around as they used to. But it's a thought. Biodiesel. And the and anybody got anything on this Eastern Civic Community site taking numbers? Have you got any thoughts? I got a message in from Ollie, who just said, I thought most of the money for diesel and petrol was in duty and VAT. How much exactly is it? Well, based on current data, and let's take diesel, shall we? If diesel averages about 176p a litre, that's £8 a gallon, by the way. £8 for a gallon of diesel. The cost's broken down, really. There are four main components. You've got the fuel duty, VAT, wholesale fuel price, and retailer margin and distribution costs and what have you. Fuel duty, I think, is a flat rate of about 53p per litre. 53p per litre goes straight in fuel duty tax. 20% VAT charges a total of the base cost. Basically, that's, of course, a tax on a tax, because you're paying fuel duty and then you're paying VAT on top. There's the wholesale fuel price, which is the cost of the diesel itself, which fluctuates based on global crude oil prices, obviously, and they're sky high at the moment. So that's the wholesale cost. And then at the end, and all the retailers will be saying, what about us? Retailer margin and distribution. That's the cost for transportation, delivery to filling stations, and the profit margin to the retailer, which is, bluntly, on £8 a gallon, minuscule. That's why the petrol stations make their money in selling bottles of Tizer and cheese sandwiches and magazines and what have you. Because selling fuel itself really probably wouldn't just cover costs. There are very few, apart from the one in Union Mills, there are very few filling stations that just sell that. So total taxes, duty plus VAT, is about 80-odd p per litre, 80p per litre. It's a lot, isn't it? So you're taxed when you run a car with road tax, you're taxed when you buy fuel, and you pay VAT on top of it. What to do? Bonzo's got the answer. Hi, Bonzo.
I'm not quite sure I've got the answer, but I can certainly pose the questions and explain some other things.
Okay.
Yes, hearing David going talking about biodiesel, I think that point was cleared yesterday by Alex, but I'll clear it again. The thing is that UK government, a few years back, decided to bring biodiesel within the fuel duty regime. And so that meant that people like the people who were doing it in a sort of cottage industry way here at the Laxey Garage, it just didn't make any economic sense for them to do it.
Right.
And indeed, it got to the point where the only plant that made biodiesel in the UK, I think, shut down last year because of the fact it couldn't make any money.
Right.
So that's nothing to do with, again, you know, it's part of the fuel tax, part of the sort of further tax regime, you know, the VAT agreement, as some people more generally call it.
Yeah.
And so that is something we can't do anything about. What, however, we can do something about is the steam packet, because obviously government operates the steam packet via the Treasury. Of course, government then look at it and say, oh, well, the steam packet, you know, it is a bit of a cash cow. You know, it gives us money. So we don't want to be trying to diminish our profits. But then again, the steam packet is central, absolutely key to much of the operation of the Manx economy. And if you just say, oh, well, no, there'll just have to be a fuel surcharge. We'll just have to tough it out, as Alf says. Yes, I don't think Alf will be doing much toughing it out, nor many Tynwald members either. It will be, you know, the lower paid, the middle paid, that the businesses that are already struggling, and whatever people might think of Michelle Hayward, she's absolutely right on this one. After COVID and after the Ukrainian crisis and the fuel price rises then, and with all the other things that this is going to affect, such as food prices, local businesses just aren't going to be, just aren't in a position to take any more shocks. And so government really actually should think about intervening where it can, not simply, oh, just writing checks to people. Well, no, because you're writing a check to yourself, because Treasury owns the steam packet, in, you know, absorbing that fuel surcharge. That's something that they can do. That's nothing to do with the UK. It's something that can be done. It's something that can be done now, right now. And it really needs to be done right now.
Well, as you say, the steam packet is pivotal. It's vital, because the amount of freight that comes in, as you say, is, I mean, that's what we very little freight comes in by air. So everything that the island uses comes on the boat. You know, first, second, and third. So that kind of surcharge that we all pay, it's about 17% on top of things because of the it coming on the steam packet. That's going to go up. It just depends whether the steam packet purchases its diesel, marine diesel, forward. Whether they're paying, you know, when they're going to start using the oil that's paid for at the new improved price because of the situation in Iran. We don't quite know when that will zip in.
Ah, well, you know, two words on that. Force majeure. And I'm not talking about the Tangerine Dream album.
Yeah.
Because of the situation, you'll find clauses in those kind of hedging contracts where they can say, no, mate, sorry, we can't supply you at that price anymore. You'll just have to pay the market price. So we're well prepared. Well, yes, we are. So long as the conditions hold out. But given the situations developing at the moment, I mean, when you've got people like J.P. Morgan, not a bunch of people known for sort of being Chicken Little and screaming that the sky's falling down. When you see the map that they've issued of how the knock-on effects of the effective closure of the Straits of Hormuz are going to operate, already, of course, you've seen in Australia where they've halved fuel duty to absorb the costs, but they are, they are going to have a supply problem, as is parts of Asia at the moment as well. Europe begins to have a supply problem that begins to bite in the middle of this month. And the United States, obviously having lots of oil itself and having seized lots of Venezuelan oil, that really doesn't even begin to touch them until the beginning of May. But those knock-on effects are there, and they're going to keep piling on. And also, there are other things that if the situation became rather worse, then there is something that the UK has, and of course, remembering, that's where our fuel supply comes from. They have something called the National Emergency Plan, brackets fuel, close brackets, otherwise known as NEPF. And that gives the capacity for the UK to allocate fuel supplies to various sectors.
Right.
You know, in order to keep emergency things and lifeline things going. So they would determine how much the steam packet would get in terms of fuel. And yes, they would allocate for, you know, standard services, lifeline services and such, but they would allocate for that for additional sailings for, you know, TT, for example, or Manx Grand Prix, or anything that would, you know, support a tourist season.
Right.
You know, the government are just in UK are kind of letting people have a bank, you know, letting people have Easter and then see how it will work, because we're entering what's, you know, what's called the driving season, where bank holidays, etc. People are always driving off to, you know, the beach or to see relatives or getting on the ferry to go on holiday and stuff. And so that produces, you know, quite a bump in fuel use. So just to sum up, now, yes, the Isle of Man is at the mercy of what the UK does, but there is a way, there is a something that the Isle of Man government can do, and it can do right now, and that's to you know, buffer the fuel surcharge, right, on the steam packet.
Okay. Are Tangerine Dreams still going, Bonzo?
I don't know. I think one of them is dead.
What was his name? Edgar Froese or something. He was the...
Yes, that's right. Edgar Froese. Yes, I saw them at Portsmouth Guildhall. I think Mark Tiley saw them as well at the same gig. Showing my age here.
My word. All right. Good to hear from you, Bonzo. Thanks for calling.
Okay, then, take it. Bye.
22 minutes past 12. The reason that the ECAS, the Eastern Civic Amenity site, is taking registration numbers is because you're limited to one 15-minute visit per day. And some people are exploiting it by going there and coming back and taking stuff for selling either via car boot sales or online. So if they take registration numbers, they know who is coming in each day. You have been warned. That's the reason. The situation isn't going to improve as fossil fuels dry up. 40 years left, says WhatsApper. I remember in the 1970s when they said the oil was going to run out by the end of the 1980s. I think they said that in the 1980s as well. They've always said that the oil is... Do you know they've hit oil off the Falkland Islands? They finally... There was always a rumour that it was there, and now they found it, gas and oil, off the Falkland Islands. There are hundreds of years of fossil fuel reserves around the world. It just depends how expensive it is to get them. That's the key. Biodiesel. There was a guy down south, says WhatsApper... Thank you, 970, says a guy down south who would collect all used restaurant oil and convert it into fuel. He then intended to expand the operation to growing rapeseed, pressing it and selling the pitch or cake as cattle feed, then selling the rapeseed oil to restaurants and then taking it back, using it to biodiesel. He's Greta Thunberg. He met with a government obstruction and had to jump through hoops regarding the rapeseed oil purity that would have to have been boiling to fryer temperature. The Eastern Civic Amenity site has been taking registration numbers for some time, again, to check whether you're not visiting the site too many times a day, particularly the reuse facility. All the staff there are very friendly, says Malcolm. Energy security should outweigh pristine fuels. Wind farms and electric cars are the way to get away from geopolitics. Sorry. Oh, no, that's sorry, that was your name. The situation isn't going to improve. Trouble is, it's now. Putting up wind farms, it's not going to happen by next Tuesday, is it really? But I take your point. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Let's have a happier note. I'm over the camera obscura here at the moment. I'm just about to go. I've been cleaning the lenses, cleaning the mirrors, and it's all ready now for when anybody comes up here on Saturday afternoon, Sunday and Monday. So weather permitting, and the forecast is variable, so that can be absolutely anything. We're open on Saturday afternoon from 1 o'clock, Sunday from 11 o'clock, and Monday from 11 o'clock.
So open when the flag's flying, is that right?
That's the one, and it's all ready to go now. I've just got it tidied up, and the lenses are all in good working order.
How much does it cost?
children are free, and then the adults are £3.
Right. And I think you've joined the 21st century, haven't you? Have you got a card reading machine there? Is it all still cash?
We have. We got that last year. So if it looks like money, we'll take it. But no, it's a little bit of history. She was 1892 she was built. So it's still working and it's still here. And let's hope we get a lot of visitors this Easter. And then it's a couple of weeks break and then we're open for the summer.
Fantastic. And during the summer, what days are you open?
It's every weekend and bank holidays. This is an appeal anyway because we are desperately short of volunteers. You wouldn't be working every 5 minutes, you're only a couple of hours a month, and you're always on with somebody that's experienced.
Okay.
So
well,
if anybody's
okay.
Well, thinking of coming up...
Give that a plug. If anybody wants to, just a couple of hours a month, volunteering at the Camera Obscura on Douglas Head, what do they do? What do they have to do to find out more if somebody wants to volunteer?
Oh, well, ring Peter Kelly. He's on, I'm sorry, Peter, but 621-733, and you'll get all the information that you require there. But we do require it more and more because, like myself, we're all getting older and it's becoming harder to get up here for us. But you meet a great number of people from all over the world and brilliant people. So it's not just standing here looking pretty. You have a good conversation with them, and it's well worth the effort.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Howard. Have a good weekend.
Well, thank you for letting me come on this time, Andy.
No,
you take care.
All the best. Thank you very much. 621-733 if you want to volunteer for the Camera Obscura. You don't have to be there, as Howard said, more than a couple of hours a month. And Peter Kelly from the Victorian Society, 621-733. The government's going to get a big unexpected boost to its coffers due to the increased tax with fuel price increase. So why don't they put some back in some way to mitigate the increases? That's, I think, what Bonzo was indicating. So regarding biodiesel, I believe you have to change the seals in the fuel pump or you'll damage the engine. Maybe a diesel engineer will know us. Can you run biodiesel? Is it still... Does it affect the engine at all? Biodiesel is still getting used quite often. I smell it from small lorries passing. So perhaps the southern chap is still doing... Actually, you're quite right. I remember the guy who used to recycle chip oil. Whenever he had a... I think it was a Land Rover Discovery. When he drove by, it smelled of chips. It was very off-putting. Plenty of oil in the chip shops. Andy, thank you, 343. Regarding the tourist tax, cities that normally charge this tax have plenty to offer tourists and a reliable travel system. Now, we've got neither. Boats can't dock because we haven't dredged the harbour and the steam packet, making it to too many cancellations and an unreliable air service. So we shouldn't introduce a tourist tax, says Pam. Yes, the Chief Minister on fuel going up. Mr. Cannon wouldn't commit to providing any help to people struggling with increased cost. And remember, this isn't just petrol and diesel for road fuel. It's heating oil as well. So,
not really. You know, we knew that there was going to be significant increases. We've been protected on the island just simply because of the schedule of our deliveries and the way that our deliveries have been coming in as compared to the United Kingdom. Those prices have been pretty much forecast in terms of the prices that UK customers have been paying. And, you know, that type of rise was always going to be expected here on the island.
You were asked yesterday in the House of Keys about support going forward. And I think you talked about the need to essentially have some more data gathering to know a little bit more about who is going to be affected. What does that process look like? What is it you're looking at to figure out where that support will go?
Well, so there's no guarantee there will be necessarily any support. I think yesterday I delivered 7 principles that will guide our decision making, and in that we said that any support that we do deliver will be targeted. But this is still very early days. I don't think this is an in-the-moment crisis. In other words, the impacts of this could be felt many months, if not even years, into the future. So it's a very uncertain picture that we're dealing with. We are not rushing in to hand out checks at this precise point. I think there is a period we're just going to have to tough it out for a few weeks. As soon as we start writing checks, the pressure then grows across the economy for the government to step in, and millions of pounds can be paid out, and we just won't be in a proper position if there are significant impacts next autumn and next winter. And we must remember, ultimately, it's not the government's money, this is taxpayers' money. And people will rightly ask, if we give support to one element of society, why they should also not get support. And it's a difficult and complex picture. On the plus side, electricity prices are very well protected. Gas customers are protected. We will continue to monitor the situation, and we have taken action, for example, with the rise in personal allowances. So there are things that we have done that will soften and cushion some of the impacts of this. And, you know, there is still a long way to go in terms of assessing and understanding what ultimately is going to be felt.
Alfred Cannon, MHK, your chief minister, and the cost of petrol, diesel and home heating all going up. Luckily, if there's any sort of silver lining, it's the fact that it's the 1st of April today, which means we're heading into heading towards summer, so you won't be using as much heating oil. As yet, the price of wood hasn't gone up. I doubt it will go up, so if you're a wood burner, then you can sit there glowing with pride, knowing you made the right choice. Any more thoughts? Text. Oh, by the way, I've got a note in from Andrew Smith, Fairy Cottage filling station in Laxey, and said, yes, we did used to collect waste cooking oil, about 3,000 or 4,000 litres a week, really, and manufacture biodiesel. Sadly, the used oil supply dried up. Others were collecting the used oil for their own purposes. So is anybody anywhere selling biodiesel?
Employers, having trouble with staff and need reliable advice? Employees, are you treated fairly in the workplace, or do you have a grievance?
The workplace can be problematic on both sides. For any work-related legal issue, contact the employment law experts, Mann Benham. They advise employers and staff on all work-related problems with sound professional advice and a transparent fee policy. To arrange your free consultation at Mann Benham, call today on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage, offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pick-up and drop-off service. Call 258-766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore, you can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week, so book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123 at manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Got a note in from Willie who said, I heard you mention last week that Ian Cottier is 90 years of age. He was our own Ian Cottier, former headmaster at St Ninian's, of course, but a long-time broadcaster on Manx Radio. And Willie said, I listen to Time for Brass every week. He doesn't sound 90. I'm not sure whether that's a compliment or not, but anyway, you can tune Ian in every Monday night, 9 o'clock, with Time for Brass, and also on the podcast as well. Who pays for the fuel for the government vehicles when staff are using them to get to or from work? I understand some of them because they're on call. But what about those that aren't on call and are using work vehicles before and after, says Andrea. Tell me more. Next week, a week tomorrow, by the way, Teresa Cope is on Man in Line. Chief Executive of Manx Care, Teresa Cope, will be on a week tomorrow. If you want to get a question in the meantime or put something on the answer phone, please get in touch. A week tomorrow, Teresa Cope from Manx Care will be on Man in Line. And Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. Yes, I'm looking forward. Man, the weather looks a bit iffy for the weekend.
Yeah, I've noticed a few bikers are bombing about now, so and a few, quite a few English plates knocking about. So
whereabouts?
Well, over actually, I saw a few bikers filling up actually in town yesterday at the Milestone down in the south, Ramsey. So yeah, so it's looking good. Speaking of which, to do with filling up, I think it's fair to say that if anyone actually looks at what the oil price is doing, it's trending downwards very quickly. Brent crude has dropped 14% in the last couple of days. It was up at $119 a barrel. It's down at $102. And West Texas Intermediate has dropped from $120 to $99. Dollars a barrel. So that's a 17.2% drop. And it seems that the hedge fund managers and traders were panicking the market, and now they're seeing that the Strait of Hormuz is not as locked down as everyone supposed it was. And you can still look on Vessel Finder and see the Knox and crude oil tankers doing 10.5 knots at the moment. The Nidi LPG tankers doing 7.7 knots on its way to Sharjah in the Emirates. So if you actually go and look at a graph of what the oil price is doing, it's trending down almost vertically. Yeah. So if we're going to have another oil fill up from the ship soon, I would imagine, as we keep getting told, oh, well, you know, we have to wait for what it's doing at the time. So hopefully things will start to trend down a bit.
Well, you would hope so. But of course, for most of us, all we want to do is, you know, fill up and get a chocolate milkshake. That's really all we want to do at the pump. And most people on the Isle of Man don't do thousands and thousands of miles a week compared to people who commute around Ireland and Scotland and Wales and England. You know, it's very rare that anybody's got a very long commute. So, I mean, you just wonder what the extent of it. I mean, particularly, I can understand home heating oil and whether that shoots up in price. But in terms of transport, apart from things that the people that are in business, i.e., you know, the haulage companies and what have you, and the buses and what have you, or taxi drivers, people don't do that many miles on the island.
No. I'm also puzzled as to why diesel's going up so fast when it actually uses quite a lot less fractional distillation to make it than petrol. So the actual gubbins involved in actually making it seems less, but perhaps somebody else can come on and explain why diesel is so much higher when, if you remember a long time ago, it used to be quite a bit cheaper than petrol.
It did, didn't it? And that's the trouble, that the story on diesel has ebbed and flowed over the past 20 years. First of all, it was the best thing since sliced bread. Then it was the worst thing. Then it was even worse than that. And then it was okay. So really, the consumer never really knows, Julian.
No, that's right. By the way, you mentioned Teresa Cope's on next week. I'm kind of concerned, very concerned, at this talk about redundancies at the hospice, considering, like I was speaking to Alex yesterday, this is literally a 59th of the spend of Manx Care's annual budget, and their increase in spending in the last year would have paid for hospice 7 years over. So I'm just kind of puzzled as to why they can't just keep the hospice. I mean, you know, I don't even understand the ethics of only paying a quarter towards it, and the other three quarters has to basically come from whoever's prepared to pay for it. And of course, in the current climate, not everybody wants to be dishing out for charity. So I don't know. I mean, you know, these people in the hospice, you know, we're going to maybe be in there one day. So you've got to have a bit of sympathy. We're all inevitably going to, you know, get older and all the rest of it. So I just don't get why.
No, you're quite right. I mean, not wanting to sound morbid, but the fact is people are living an awful lot longer than they used to live. So, you know, time was years ago when people routinely used to die of a brain hemorrhage or a heart attack. Now, it very rarely happens with a heart attack. We've got defibrillators everywhere and people are living an awful lot longer. So the hospice, but the hospice has always had an impeccable reputation, hasn't it, Julian? I mean, it's when I first came to the Isle of Man, it was one of the first things that I learned about, the fact that the hospice was fairly sacrosanct on the Isle of Man. But they did have very big donors, Julian. I mean, one of the biggest was the Scholl Foundation and the footwear people from Canada. And obviously when Bill Scholl died, a lot of that dried up. And it's all very nice, you know, and I'm not denigrating people who do sponsored walks and what have you, or climb Mount Kilimanjaro to raise £2,000 or £3,000. But hospice needs six-figure donations. It needs big legacies, and they just haven't been forthcoming.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mentioned that Alex said something very interesting yesterday when he said that the hospice has to live within its means. That doesn't seem to apply to Manx care, which, you know, what is it? It can't be the drugs. The drugs have not gone up that much. So it must be something else. And, well, you know, regular callers have.
Yeah, some drugs do go up. New drugs, when they come in, obviously the big pharmaceutical companies will chance their arm, particularly if they've got the monopoly on it. They will charge a lot. Cancer drugs cost a fortune. And remember, there are many Manx people who go to Clatterbridge. So there's all that treatment to be paid for. And remember, we had a brand new big scanner. It was about £1 million. So the scanners cost a fortune, and everybody wants that. Everybody wants the best possible treatment. And of course, it never knowingly goes down in price, does it?
And, you know, there's been several donors who've been very generous and, you know, six-figure donations. I think Sevilla, they put £3.5 million into it. And as I mentioned yesterday, all the therapies, you know, the rooms and everything have been upgraded between 2019 and 2024, which is not very long ago. And what's this going to do to waiting lists if we're going to be taking hospice patients from a facility that's separate and fully equipped and then putting them into the normal hospital, which seems to be the plan? I really don't get how this is going to improve waiting lists. With somebody from hospice, it's going to take a lot longer to look after them. And you have to have amazing specialist nurses. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, who are these people going to be made redundant? Because if that's knowledge that's being lost, I mean, are we going to start losing local knowledge, like building the roads and stuff where all the crews have been got rid of? I don't know. I'm not sure about this.
I don't want to prioritise or judge one thing above another, but Rebecca House is beyond compare. I mean, the Children's Hospice is absolutely fantastic, and anybody who's got any experience of the Children's Hospice. So there are certain things that I think are beyond the pale. There are certain things on the Isle of Man that I think most people will agree we simply have to maintain, Julian.
Yeah, and I remember, I mean, you and I had this conversation and Wilf brought it up. I mean, the government was talking 2 seconds ago about throwing £18 million at a seawall in Ramsey. That's not happening now. So, if you can purloin £1 million off the horse trams, you can take £18 million and just put a little tiny bit of that towards making sure that nobody gets made redundant in the next 3 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry to be. I think it's disgusting that they're seriously talking about making hospice staff redundant. I just find this hard to believe.
We live in a different world, don't we, Julian, now?
I know.
All right, good to hear from
somebody
you.
All right, thanks, Andy. Cheers.
All right, thanks for that. Introducing a tourist tax will be the wrong move at the wrong time, according to Lucy George. A new report from Visit Isle of Man. There, the Visit Isle of Man is inside Department for Economic Enterprise, that's it. It was Department for Economic Development before, wasn't it? It's been so much, hasn't it? Before, of course, years ago, it used to be the Department of Tourism. We had a Minister of Fun. Now, what's left of the Department of Tourism is Visit Isle of Man. And they're looking at the viability of a tourist tax. a levy to be put before Tymble this month. Several European destinations have introduced similar taxes, varied taxes ranging from 2 to 15 euros per room, per night, or per person. Lucy George, part of the George dynasty, is the general manager of the Welbeck Hotel in Douglas, the one that's just a block back from the Prom, and she believes that they'd have to close. The Welbeck Hotel would close if there was a tourist tax.
Obviously, we all want the Isle of Man to succeed as a visitor destination, and I absolutely support investment into the tourism. But right now, many hospitality businesses are already under real pressure. The costs are high and demand isn't as strong as people think, and adding a tourism levy at this point risks making us less competitive when we should be focused on bringing more visitors here in the first place. I'm against introducing it in the current climate. I think it's the wrong move at the wrong time for a set that's still recovering, especially after COVID and general other problems in the world, and we're still trying to grow. I really think we should focus on the events outside the TT, trying to boost them more, trying to advertise to the across the world, really, not just the UK. We've got so many people that come here to our hotel, to the Welbeck, for looking at ancestry. That's massive for Americans. And just reaching out farther afield and showing people how amazing the Isle of Man is. It's magical to people that have never been here before, especially, and it holds so many memories for people that have been here time and time again. So we really just need to focus on that, build demand as much as we can, yeah, and just focus on, you know, growing tourism now instead of implementing things that may put people off. My granddad had a lot of the same fight as me, and, you know, he died over 20 years ago now. It would be a real shame if hospitality businesses like ours, like the Welbeck, who we've been in business since 1978, it's a family, and it'd be a real shame if we had to close or stop doing all the special things that drive people to us. You know, the customer service, people don't come to our hotel because it's brand new. They come to our hotel because it's personable and it's welcoming, and we treat them well because we're so happy that they're here. And no matter how they come, we're just glad they're filling the rooms. And that's really a challenge that we need to overcome before we get to any extra hurdles that they need to do to get here.
Lucy George from the Welbeck Hotel in Douglas. Lucy mentioned her grandfather, Peter George. He was something else, Peter. He'd work 24 hours a day, as would his son, Michael. And I'm sure Lucy's the same as well. Well, obviously, the Welbeck is there, along with places like the Empress, the Palace and the Sefton in Douglas, the Sefton Express down in the south. I just wonder, what do you think this... the trouble with anything that's customer-facing, particularly in the hospitality sector, is don't be put off by the fact that everybody's smiling, because they will. When you go to a restaurant, when you go to a cafe, when you go to a hotel, of course everybody's going to be smiling. It's their job to be in hospitality, to be, if you like, in entertainment. They smile. But it often hides problems behind the scenes, and Lucy alludes to that. A tourist tax would put the Welbeck out of business. Out of business. So you wonder what's going to happen when this report from Visit Isle of Man goes to Tynwald later on this month. If you've got any thoughts on this, and next time you go to a restaurant or a cafe and they smile, that's not the full story. A lot of people, a lot of restaurant owners are absolutely having kittens because of the situation. I recently spent a month at a Liverpool hotel with daily appointments at Clatterbridge. I had to pay £2.40 per night visitor tax. How about that? Visitor tax. Tourist tax sounds a bit like monkey see, monkey want. Thank you, Desmond. Can always rely on Desmond. I've just filled up 80 litres of heating oil. It used to be £66, £101. Thank goodness the heating goes off in our house on the 1st of April, says Sarah in Bluff. Any more thoughts? Lots of messages to get through. A couple of questions I need to get to as well. I see Douglas Council, says Southern Andy, are doing their best to destroy the businesses of Douglas and reducing footfall. The promenade walkway parking has been closed. Well, I understand it was to alleviate because of the bus strike, but speaking to any retailer or hospitality business, they said the footfall was helped by parking on the prom. We gave up yesterday trying to park and we just came home. Can Douglas Council see the reality of their actions? Well, it's not just Douglas Council, Southern Andy. This is down to the promenade. And nobody said when the promenade was being done, it was A, going to be a traffic calming measure, and B, was going to slice a significant portion of parking spaces off the promenade. Can you remember anybody saying that? We're going to take lots of parking away from Douglas Promenade. So perhaps you're one of the people who just does donuts around Douglas trying to find a car parking space. What do you think they should do? Put the parking back on the prom? Obviously, the prom is terrific in nice weather to wander around, and although the cars only do 5 or 10 miles an hour, they are an obstruction to walking on the promenade or cycling on the promenade, taking the dog on the promenade, pushing a pram on the promenade. Any thoughts?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Lots of questions coming in for Teresa Cope. I'll put those to one side. And remember, you can call the answer phone if you want to leave a message, or you can email maninline at manxradio.com. Out of hours, when the programme's not on the air, the email address is maninline at manxradio.com. When we're on the air, it's studio at manxradio.com.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services, whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries. Ellen Vanning Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
My friend waited ages to get his car back from the garage. He only went in for a service, but they really messed him around. Told him it needed a part and he's no idea what it's going to cost. I said next time try Athol Garage. They offer fixed price menu servicing on all makes and models, so you know exactly what's being done and the full costs in advance. And you get a loan vehicle. As a franchise dealer, they may charge slightly more per hour, but will most likely take less time. Choose a reliable garage. Athol Garage Balasala. Not just Nissan.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Autism in Man is a local parent support group. We aim to provide help and support to parents and carers and to promote a greater understanding of autism. All committee members are volunteers and give their time freely. For our website and Facebook details, please search Autism in Man or call 480 167.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Find out what's cooking on the dining car this season. There's something for everyone. From classic steam events like the Bushy's Pie and Mash Train and the Leisurely Lunch Club, to memorable dining experiences on one of our theme steam dinner club or station legend events. For more information or to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
Coming up on Manx Radio, we have a special Easter winning weekend. We're giving you the chance to win £250 to spend at Manx Glass and Glazing, to put towards whatever you like, from a bespoke front door to made-to-measure mirrors or even a brand new tabletop. Based on the Snugborough Trading Estate, Manx Glass and Glazing are a family-run business celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. To win, listen out right across the long Easter weekend for the Daily Question. And all you need to do is text your answer to 166 177. And then make sure you join us next Tuesday afternoon to find out if you're the lucky winner. Make this your Easter winning weekend with Manx Glass and Glazing and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
A message in from 462. Could Isle of Man Tourism Visit Isle of Man it is. Take accommodation grading in-house. Why does Visit Isle of Man outsource this? No Isle of Man tax clawback when we pay UK assessors to grade our properties every year. Also, it's not a very green solution when they have to travel to do the job. The shortage of diesel, says Nick, is a direct result of the general population panic buying, just like they did with pasta and toilet paper 5 years ago in COVID. Our supply never changed. Nick the Skip in Andreas, and also Nick said, what's Alfred talking about? We were just about to magic £18 million to stop flooding in Ramsey. Use that to help everyone else, shall we? Well, yes, that's interesting, but if you ever try to get one government department to allocate part of their hard-earned budget to another government department, you're a better man than me, Gunga Din. You could try. I mentioned Teresa Cope is on Man in Line next Thursday, a week tomorrow. Throughout April, Rob Callister's going to be here. The Planning Committee Chief, Rob Callister, the Onken MHK, will be on. Also, Claire Christian, DHSC Minister, with her Chief Officer, Tim O'Neill, will be in. Tim Johnston, from the Department for Enterprise, the Minister, and also Chief Officer Andy Stewart, will be in. And Alfred Cannon will be on. Chief Minister will be on in April on Man in Line. Just a few of the people you'll be able to talk to. I'm glad they're taking the parking from the prom, says 404. It's a walkway. The parking promenade is not the is the responsibility of DOI, not Douglas City Council. If you want to park, pay and allow the well-used popular open space to be used as it should be. Safely. Lots of people have no outdoor space. See your point, Janie. Thanks for that. Having just stayed at the Welbeck, says Helen, I support Lucy. Everything Lucy said. It's a very friendly, wonderful hotel which understands tourism and makes everybody welcome. We can't afford to lose businesses for the sake of a £5 tax, says Helen. No more cars. Phil, this is. No more cars parking on our lovely and safe Victorian promenade. Please stop accommodating cars, because if you do, there'll only be more and more and more. We need a policy of getting off reliance of the motor car, otherwise the island is going to grind to a halt, says Phil. Well, you know what they could do. Put the horse trams back to the sea terminal. Then he wouldn't have to have a car. He could go up and down the prom on a horse tram. Thank you to just to show how stupid this tourism tax is. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. It's not. No, it's not. It's actually kosher. This is actually true. They're taking it to Timwell, the possibility of a tourism tax on the Isle of Man. They don't know who's going to pay. Well, I mean, obviously the tourists will pay, but what's going to happen to the money? Oh, I mentioned, somebody mentioned it just, when is the Camera Obscura open? It's open at the weekend, actually, Good Friday and across the weekend, and nip along. It's open when the flag's flying there. All the volunteers from the Victorian Society will be there. That's it. Back tomorrow with another open line. Oh, it's the final one of the week. It's Good Friday on Friday. Are you enjoying your chocolate eggs? Thanks to Michelle on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
WINT.